And I'm going to present this for myself, and then I'm going to say it for all the rest, so you don't have to say it. None of us have personal financial relationships with commercial interests to report. These reports that we're speaking about today are coming from the Institute of Medicine, and I know everybody talks about the IOM, the Institute of Medicine, but a lot of times people really don't know what we are. Including my parents. Okay, including my parents. So I wanted to point out that the National Academy of Sciences is the umbrella organization that the Institute of Medicine is in, and this is the thing I love the most. It was started by Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War to advise the nation on science, and it is although chartered by the federal government, it is a non-governmental organization, a non-profit organization. And the Institute of Medicine was established in the National Academies in 1970 as an advisor to the nation on health and medicine. And the idea behind all of this is that government needed independent, objective advice on science and medicine, and that the National Academies plays that role. Most of the requests for reports and studies that the National Academies gets are from the federal agencies, but there's also about a fifth of the reports that we do are requests from nonprofit foundations. Typically, we do reports, consensus reports, and convening activities like workshops. And the consensus reports, the two reports we're talking about today, are consensus reports. The Institute of Medicine and the National Academies are known as and want to continue to be known as unbiased and authoritative source of advice. The committees that work on these studies are volunteer committees, and they're composed of folks who are experts in the many disciplines that are required to answer the question that the committee is handling. There's a rigorous bias and conflict of interest process in the development of the committees, with the goal of ensuring that, although we all have biases, obviously, and when we probably wouldn't be human beings if we didn't, or researchers, but we try to know those biases, control those biases, and avoid conflict of interest so that each individual is representing their own expertise and knowledge and not necessarily a particular viewpoint from their particular community or organization. There's a rigorous peer review process. Also, all the reports go through an external review process of folks outside of the academies that are also experts in all the disciplines that are necessary to understand the report to ensure that the report's recommendations are evidence-based. And we try to choose people who, among those folks, people who we know may disagree with us so that we can get a broader and more clear view of what the committee has done. And by the way, the Institute of Medicine is also an honorific organization. You may know folks who are IOM members. And the IOM is organized by boards, and these two reports are from the Food and Nutrition Board, which is right in the middle of this chart. Linda Myers is our executive director. And I'm having a lot of trouble. The committee process is rather complicated, but the whole purpose of it is to have that absence of bias and conflict of interest, to maintain the process as confidential throughout, so that committee members can feel free to express their viewpoints, and that ultimately when the report comes out, the report is the report of the full committee. And this is just a little chart of how the process runs through, but I think I've pretty much told you that process. The development of the committee, the meetings and gatherings and public sessions where the committee's gathering information, the review and approval, and the release of the report. Now, the first report we're going to talk about is this is my prop, which we'd love you to order from the National Academies Press, but you can also now get it as free as a PDF, free downloaded from the National Academies Press website, which is a wonderful new benefit that I think we have. This report will be first, and this report was requested by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It's child care, child and adult care food program, realigning dietary guidance for all, and what the request was for the Institute of Medicine to review the meal patterns for the child and adult care food program and bring them into alignment with the DRIs and the dietary guidelines. So that's the first report and what its origin is. The second report we're going to talk about is early childhood obesity prevention policies that just came off the presses as a final published report yesterday. So this is the first view. And we also have, by the way, on your chairs, report briefs for each of the reports so that you can see what the recommendations were. Thanks to Karen and David who helped us deliver them around the room. The second report, the Early Childhood Obesity Prevention Policies, was recommended by a Standing Committee on Childhood Obesity Prevention. I just wanted to mention that we do have a Standing Committee on this topic, and we have part of that committee are leaders in academia, government, nonprofit, corporate sectors who work on the issue of childhood obesity prevention, and they guide the selection of the topics that the National Academies takes up on childhood obesity prevention. So this report was released, Early Childhood Obesity Prevention Policies, in June 2011, and was funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And this report was released in November 2010, the Child and Adult Care Food Program report, and it was funded by the Department of Agriculture. So now to the reports. This is our old building on Constitution Avenue, which is being renovated, and some of you have been there. It's a beautiful building that was built in the 1920s, and we hope to return, many of us, not the Food and Nutrition Board, but many of us hope to return to that building, and many of you will be able to attend meetings in that building starting in May 2012. I'm going to introduce our speakers, and we're going to have each of the speakers speak, and then at the end we'll have about 20 minutes for questions and answers and discussion about the two reports. The first two speakers who are on the podium right now are Suzanne Murphy and Mary Kay Fox. Suzanne Murphy will be talking to us about the nutrition recommendations in the Child and Adult Care Food Program report. She is an emeritus researcher and professor at the Cancer Center at the University of Hawaii in Honolulu. She's a member of the Institute of Medicine, and she has chaired a number of IOM committees, including the Subcommittee on Interpretation and Uses of the Dietary Reference Intakes, or DRIs. She's also chaired the committee to review the WIC food packages, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. And then she's also was the chair of the committee to review the Child and Adult Care Food Program, the results of which are the report on the Child and Adult Care Food Program that we're speaking about today. Mary Kay Fox will speak about the implications of the Child and Adult Care Food Program report recommendations. She's a senior researcher and leader on nutrition research at Mathematica Policy Research. She has more than 20 years of experience with child nutrition programs and food assistance programs. And besides serving on the IOM's Child and Adult Care Food Program study, she also was on an IOM's Committee on Nutrition Standards for the National School Lunch and Breakfast Programs, which was also requested and funded by the Department of Agriculture. After these two complete their presentations, we'll move to the second set of presentations on the Early Childhood Obesity Prevention Policies Report. And the two speakers there are in the front row here. Deborah Hare-Joshu will talk to us about the overall recommendations of the report on prevention policies for young children. She's the Associate Dean for Research and a professor at the Brown School and School of Medicine at Washington University in St. Louis. She directs the Center for Obesity Prevention and Policy Research and the Center for Diabetes Translation Research. She served as a health policy fellow in the Office of Senator Barack Obama, as well as a Robert Wood Johnson Fellow in the Health, Education, and Labor Pensions Committee of Senator Edward Kennedy. Lynn Oedekerk, sitting next to her, will address the application of the obesity prevention policies for young children. She's the director of the Child Adult Care Food Program in the New York State Department of Health. She's worked to increase access to this program and has overseen implementation of obesity prevention efforts in the program. And she's has been the president of the Child and Adult Care Food Program National Professionals Association. It's so difficult to say Child and Adult Care Food Program that I've been practicing all my life, and we refer to it often as CACFP, so I give permission to our speakers to do that now that you know what it is. My husband used to say that when you see it, it looks like a Czechoslovakian license plate.